I found that you need to be very careful about getting credit for stuff, particularly when God did it. So whatever Howard said, God was underneath it. But mentoring is important. And I want to just share with you kind of how this phenomenal thing started. So it was very interesting, the word here. I remember when Howard did not have phenomenal. And he had just started his phenomenal products. We were in a conference down on Derry Ashford and I-10. There's a little Hilton Hotel there. And I can still remember. Christian was just a kid then, and somewhere around 2000. And Howard asked me to come and teach on leadership because I was doing church leadership and teaching systems, basically, and strategy. And I had come to see that there were a whole lot of good stuff in the business world. That's where I came to know about Gerber's E-Myth. So that evening, Howard said, just come and teach on leadership. So the Lord put in my mind, and I think it really was from him, about the word phenomenal. And I can still remember how I had a PowerPoint presentation, and I can still remember that scene. So Howard was sitting kind of back in the back, and he was listening intently as I shared about the word phenomenal. And basically what the Lord had given to me was that I said, not only is Howard's products phenomenal, but Howard is phenomenal, and you are phenomenal. Now, I remember when I looked at Hebrew 2 and Psalm 8 that have that in it, I remember it was a very special moment, one of those kind of aha moments. And so I shared that. And so I wanted you to have something of that to know what happened. So I've done you a little handout, if you have it. And there are 15 different phenomenal things on this handout. So I have done enough conferences, I know that a whole lot of things, by the time we're talking up here, by the time you get out the door, you've forgotten most of them. So I want you to take this home, and you're going to find out it is really a 15-point sermon. Now, most sermons that you're taught to teach three main points, and then people are going to remember one or two of them when they go out the door and forget the rest of them when they get in the car. So this is why I want you to have something to take home. And this little sheet, you can use it in different ways. If you want to put it in your Bible or put it on your desk and look at it from time to time. But it basically are phenomenal truths and concepts about life and business. So life and business go together. That's why God is interested in both of them. And so it's laid out with a phenomenal statement. And then I have a scripture verse or two, and then I have Zig's words of wisdom. So ever since before Howard got hooked up with Zig, I knew who he was, had heard about him for years, and was very impressed with him. But the more that I looked at his life, he was an incredible person, and I loved his pithy sayings. And so I have put some of those in also. So you can go and look at these, but On your front, each page has four of these phenomenal truths. But I want to go through the first two with you because that's what happened down on Derry Ashford and I-10 20 or 30 years ago. And God used it to touch Howard, and I think to help him understand that life is not just about products, but it's really about people. And so you are a phenomenal person created in God's image. And that is one of the most important concepts that we can live out in life. And it's true about our family life, it's true about our business. But to begin here, you are a phenomenal person created in God's image. And this is what Hebrews 2:8 and 9 said, "What is mankind that you're mindful of him? A son of man that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the angels." And really, the word angels there is almost saying you have made him a little lower than God. "You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under their feet." And so this is, you are a phenomenal creation. All of us are phenomenally created by God. That means we're important. We're important to God. And Zig's word of wisdom I loved. Look at what he says. "You were designed for accomplishment, engineered for success, and endowed with the seeds of greatness." And then he also said, "Until you're happy with who you are, you'll never be happy with what you have." So a lot of what we're doing, I think, in life and in business is learning about ourselves and learning to be a healthy person and happy with ourselves. And you are in a position that you have an opportunity to do that in business because you're related to people. And people help shape us and make us. So you are a phenomenal person created in God's image. And then that night, those two or three decades ago, I remember also talking about God has a phenomenal purpose for you. So if God has created us, why? And this is something, as you read through this, you'll see some of Zig's concepts are so incredible because he saw the whole purpose of life was to bless others and to be a friend, to lift others up, not just for ourselves, but God's purpose for us. I like Jeremiah, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And this is how Zig saw that concept. God created man on purpose and for a purpose. We're not accidents. God created each of us for a purpose and on purpose. And think of the value that gives to each of us. But not only to us, think of the value it gives to people we come in contact with. And Zig also said this, "You're here for a reason. That purpose is to get everything out of you that is humanly possible so that you can make your contributions to mankind." And this was the incredible thing I saw about Zig and his life. It was always life to Zig Ziglar and to Howard also, is about accomplishing something for others. And this is something that the world cannot understand. In going back and looking at how the world saw Zig Ziglar, there were two or three points that he made that seemed like people out in the world just could not understand, but they knew they were important. And one of them was living by the golden rule. The other, and I have it in here, was be a friend, being a friend to other people, that this is what we're to do in business. Now, you know, we hear that at church, but how could this happen in business? Because God is involved in all of our lives. And we are created as far as God is concerned for his purpose. Now let's look at another. We're not going to have time. Let's turn over to your second page. And the second one down, the golden rule is a phenomenal business principle. And this was the one that as I went back and read about Zig and how the world saw him, they could not fathom this principle. But this was a big one for Zig, remember? Do unto others as you would have them do to you. Now, that doesn't sound right in the dog-eat-dog world that you're in. That seems like it's really not proper advice. But, you know, this is what God said. And I like what Zig said about it. You will get all you want in life if you help enough other people get what they want. And this is a statement that I found over and over again by the secular world. You know, this doesn't make sense. You will get all you want in life if you help enough other people get what they want, because most of the time we think, I'll get all out of life if I can get what I want. But this is contrary to our logical thinking. But this is what the Bible teaches us and what Zig teaches us. And then I like this second quote by Zig. Life is an echo. Think about that. Life is an echo. What you send out comes back. What you sow, you reap. What you give, you get. What you see in others exists in you. So life is an echo. So God is echoing out from us, and we're receiving from others to us. Look at the next page. God is your phenomenal friend. This is one of the greatest concepts that I have seen over the several decades that I've been sharing about from the Bible. That God is our friend. Most of the time we think God, you know, is austere, way above us when we think about him. But the scripture says God is our friend. In Exodus, the Lord would speak to Moses when Moses would go out into this small tent. He said, God would speak to Moses face to face, like a man spoke to his friend. And in Hebrews, in James says that Abraham was called the friend of God. And Jesus said, I no longer call you servants. I call you friend. Greater love has no man than he lay down his life for his friend. And so friendship, being a friend, is something that Zig Ziglar understood. And this is his words. Look at what he said. If you go out looking for friends, you're going to find they are very scarce. If you go out to be a friend, you'll find them everywhere. Friendship requires many things: unselfishness, genuinely caring for the other person, and listening when he or she needs to talk. A friendship relationship is a priceless one and should be cherished, cultivated, and nurtured. And then I like, this is so, a little statement that Zig made that's so beautiful. A friend is one of the nicest things you can have and one of the best things you can be. So, again, as I looked how the world looked at Zig, that was one of the main things they could not understand either, of being a friend, of pouring yourself and your life into someone else. Look back on the first page. I want to go back and because this struck me also. Knowing Jesus is the most phenomenal relationship. And Zig, I put in here his own little short testimony. And he became a Christian when he was 45, really. So he had gone through the thing about church and baptism as a kid. But he said there was this elderly black lady came into the home. I don't know who she was. They called her, what was it, Aunt Jessie. And somehow she came into their home, and he said she came in talking about Jesus, and she left talking about Jesus. But something happened to Zig, 45 years of age, and he said he'd been to church many times, but he made this comment, and I thought it was very interesting. He said, I have been to church 1,500 times. I had been baptized when I was 12, but I was no more a Christian than I was a goat. That sounds like Zig. So he had religion on the outside, but not on the inside. And when she got through with me, I made that commitment, and every facet of my life radically changed. From that moment and this one, he has honored and blessed that in such an incredible way. And I think this helps us to understand part of our own lives. So Zig, at 45 years of age, and his story was he had been a failure up to that moment. But after that, somehow when God came into his life, it turned his whole perspective around. His worldview changed. His perspective of life and business, everything changed. And I was thinking about the concept of legacy. Really, we are God's legacy. He has invested in us. We are his legacy. He has no hands, no feet. We are those. We are the legacy. Look at the third page. God is your phenomenal senior partner. So I think this is part of what was going on in Howard's life back when we were talking together. Denise was already a successful businesswoman, and she was supporting Howard with tough love. So if you know Denise and you do know, tough love, she can speak into your life. She was in this process with Howard. Howard was gradually, I think, learning how God was part of his business as well as his life. I think that is what God was saying to Howard. Howard, you are my business. Therefore, your business is my business. You are my business. This is what God is all about. You and me, we're his business. And he wants to get us saved, walking with him, enjoying life, having joy, being at peace. He said he would give us all of that, but he is the senior partner. And in Psalm, David said, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. And that's God's promise to us. We have a senior partner with us. And Zig said about this, you plus God equals enough. God's way is still the best way. And then he said, God will take care of what you go through. You take care of how you go through it. Our part is not to play God, but to trust God. And you are a phenomenal investment. People. I think this is, as I've been listening the time I've been here, you are about people. You're about each other. Coaching. People. That's what life is about. And people are an phenomenal investment. And I've heard some of that here as you talked about the investment of others in your life. But for you to be able to invest in others, that is a phenomenal investment. It's an investment that will last through this life into the next. Zig said, you can have everything in life you want if you would just help enough other people get what they want. And again, I say that was a statement that the world kept talking about Zig. They could not understand how that could be, but they knew it was important. Part of your purpose in life is to build strong and faithful relationships with others. And your work setting is a perfect place to start. You don't build a business. You build people. And then people build the business. So I was hearing that here. That's a theme that has been running out as I've been here also, about people. And so you are unique. If you are business people who are looking beyond the dollars and cents, the bottom line. And life cannot be just about dollars and cents. We're going to be very unhappy if that's what our life goal is. Now, a little of that helps. But nevertheless, that cannot be our goal in life. And I think this is what, and I would say these kind of business movements are all about people. And then your phenomenal spiritual profit is banked in heaven. So you're about the profit line, and you have to show a profit. But the Bible tells us there's a greater profit, investment. Jesus said, don't store up treasures here on earth, store them in heaven where they will never lose their value. And Zig understood that too. Our number one objective is to make a profit so we can hit our number one priority, which is to help people be all they can be. Money will buy you a bed, but not a good night's sleep. A house, but not a home. A companion, but not a friend. And Zig's closing prayer often was this: Dear God, help me to invest my life in eternity and lay up treasures in heaven so I will reap abundantly in this life and the next. All for your praise and glory, thank you for hearing and answering my prayer. So we have a phenomenal prophet. And that, what you're doing encourages, your focus encourages me. Because you're part of the very fabric of society. And imagine if businesses ran like this, if they were phenomenal like this, think of the impact. I have a friend who's an incredible businessman, my roommate in college, and I grew up with him. And he's a layperson, but he's touched many lives. So he had one of the largest sellers of boats and motors in East Texas. Very successful, but he had to have a lot of guys working at his shop. So the pastor of this church, Neil McLennan, is from my hometown. And my roommate, who hired Neil to help, you know, there at the shop. And my friend James Sewell had a son about the same age as Neil, a little younger. And Neil at that time was a wild hare. I mean, everybody knew Neil. And he came from a very difficult home, a broken home. And so my roommate James would go by sometimes to pick him up, to get him to go to work. And the mother would come out, and the father was not at the home. The mother would come out and said, well, he's still sleeping. He got in late last night. So James would send somebody back in to rouse him out and force him to come. And he said Neil would come out and would be buttoning his shirt. And James said, then I would put him on the hardest job I had for him. And yet today Neil will say this was one of the greatest impacts on his life. And that is an investment. So we invest not only with the dollar and cents profit margins, we invest with people. I'll be 87 in February. This last Tuesday, I went back to my hometown for our class who graduated in 1956, the ones of us that are left and are able to be there, and there weren't many of us. But life comes to a halt quickly, more quickly than we imagine. That's the thing about looking back. When the scripture says like the twinkle of an eye, that's what it is. And the investments that we make, it's good to have it in the bank, but it's good to have it in people. And the thing that we come in our investments in heaven, as Zig said, that's we're laying up stuff for eternity. And I'm so glad that this is part of what you are experiencing together. Let's look at the last page. God gives phenomenal peace in all circumstances. And Jesus said, "My peace I give to you, not as the world give, I give you peace." Peace is one of the greatest emotions that we can experience if we're at peace. And we talk about peace among countries, but God promises peace within. And in the world that we're living in, the world many times outside of us, there's just no peace at all. But He has promised that we can have peace if we come to Him. But if we try to fight the world and all the problems that we have around us, we'll never find peace. And Zig said this, "Be selective in your battles. Sometimes peace is better than being right." I like that. So practical. Sometimes peace is better than being right. Now, I have always been kind of competitive. I like to be right. You may be like that also. But I think this is a very practical thing that Z gave us. Worry is paying interest on a debt you don't have. Isn't that good? So, you know, how much interest are we paying on debts, worry things that we don't have? Peace of mind is part of true success, not just money in the bank. Worrying does not take away tomorrow's troubles. It takes away today's peace. Even in tragedy, God, through His Word, offers hope for those who seek and believe. It starts with a promise of a better tomorrow, of life everlasting, of eternal peace. It's called faith, and it offers hope where none exists. And so the Bible promises, Zig Ziglar understood it, that peace can be ours. And I really admire all you guys. I tell you, business people, I never could have been one, I think. That's why the Lord led me to do something else. My dad was a very successful businessman, born in 1907. The Depression came, but they were so poor, they said they didn't even know the Depression came. And from a large family, he happened to have his aunt was married to a guy, one of the few prosperous people around, who was a contractor, Uncle N.O. Thomas. So he took all his nephews and others, and he taught them what he called the brick trade. So they could do everything. They laid brick, poured concrete, did stone, plastered when they were plastering. He taught them everything. So when my dad was 17, he left home, and you've seen the hobos on the railroad and hitching the road. That's what they did, he and two or three of his cousins. They went all over everywhere. Everywhere they could, they heard there was a job somewhere, they would go to it. And then when he was 27, he wound up in what was to be my hometown, and he met my mother, who was a 21-year-old preacher's daughter. And they eloped to get married. And my granddad, who was a preacher, never did think very highly of my dad in the beginning because of that. Because he didn't think he had any prospects whatsoever. But he built a very successful business, became a building contractor, and also eventually, even when he always had 50 or 60 mama cows that we had to take care of all the time. We had that. And he made money in everything that he went into. And He retired and planted 1,000 peach trees and made money even doing that. So I understand, I've always admired business people. An entrepreneur, there has to be an entrepreneurial spirit in every one of you. There's a risk in it. And so you're a risk taker, but I think you can diminish some of the risk by what you're doing here together. But that is the spirit that is within you. And I think this is why Zig loved business people, why Howard is one and loves them, and those that are coaching you. You understand each other. And so God gives phenomenal peace in the midst of all the circumstances. Then gratitude opens the door for phenomenal blessings. So Zig's idea, have an attitude of gratitude. You can remember that. Have an attitude of gratitude. And gratitude is infectious. So the Bible says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus to you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He's good. Now, life is not always good, and there is tragedy. Difficulties happen. We don't get through life without the struggles. But gratitude can help change if we have. We are grateful to God and for what He's given us. And so Zig have an attitude of gratitude, and it is an attitude. We choose to be grateful. It's a choice every day. We can look at it negatively or we can look at it positively. So we can choose to be grateful. Gratitude is the healthiest of all human emotions. The more you express gratitude for what you have, the more likely you will have even more to express gratitude for. Zig was such an optimist. Among the things you can give and still keep are your word, a smile, and a grateful heart. Gratitude turns what we have into enough. I like that. Gratitude turns what we have into enough. So some people are going to die still striving to get more. But that's part of what we're learning. If getting more means more money, there's no end to it. If getting more means more friends, influence, and more people for good, that never ends. Gratitude turns what we have into enough. It strengthens relationships, shifts perspective, and creates joy in the middle of challenges. And so here again, everything in this life is either a blessing or a lesson. So Zig always wants us to learn the lessons. Everything is either a blessing or a lesson. Now, we could say it's either a blessing or a curse, but it's either a blessing or a lesson. And generosity produces a phenomenal attitude. Luke, Jesus said, give, and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Generosity produces phenomenal attitude. And Zig's words of wisdom about generosity, never give to get, Give because you have received. It's a whole different way of looking at life. Giving is like a muscle. I like this. Giving is like a muscle. To be strong, you have to exercise it and to grow as a person. Giving is the exercise. Now we think the only thing we can give is money. But we can give a lot of things. Coaches are giving of their time and their lives. We can give more than just money. In fact, a lot of giving is beyond that. Giving to someone who's in need, someone who's hurting. That's giving. And those are great blessings. You can't really enjoy anything without sharing it. This includes your faith, love, talents, and money. Truly successful people in life are givers and forgivers. I like that too. Truly successful people in life are givers and forgivers. And I know in our lives, you know, forgiving others can bring peace every day to us, because there's not any day that, you know, we don't feel like someone has done something against us, I'm sure. But to be able to turn loose of that, truly successful people in life are givers and forgivers. Success is getting, this is good. Success is getting a reasonable number of the things money will buy and all the things that money won't buy. Think of that. That's success. Success is getting a reasonable number of the things money will buy and all the things that money won't buy. And money won't buy a whole lot of things, some things, will it? You know, money won't buy happiness, peace. Money won't buy these things. Someday you'll discover we never really give. We're only returning and sharing it, a small portion of what we received. So somehow, I think I appreciate Zig Ziglar, because 45 years of age, he came to the place that his life was changed, and we get this kind of philosophy and sayings out of him. And it's a phenomenal relationship. Turn back to the first page. Knowing Jesus is the most phenomenal relationship. This is what Paul said. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. Amen. Thank you for that amen. And this is where Zig gave his testimony. The other thing that will help us, phenomenal thing that can help us to know Jesus, is the Bible is God's phenomenal book written to you. So I surrendered to preach when I was 17. I advanced, have several degrees. I've studied the Bible ever since that time. And the more I have studied the Bible, the more I realize how unusual it is. The Bible, the very fact that we have the Bible is incredible. And we have more manuscripts that are nearer to the time it was written than any other historical writing in history. There's nothing like it. And the Bible is God's special book written for each of us. And so I would encourage you, that's why I put the scripture here along with Zig's interpretation of the scripture. And so I would encourage you, you know, if I could come back later and have a test on this, I would have a test. But I'm not going to be around to do that. I was at Baylor and we had a history professor, Guy B. Harrison. He was well known. He would teach Texas history, and he had a pointer, and if you were on the front row, it was dangerous. And he the beginning of his classes, and I heard him say this, he said, "You will see me climbing through that window," and it was up high. He said, "You'll see me climbing into this window, through that window, before I give a pop quiz." And then sometime during the class, he would actually put a ladder and climb into the window as they were sitting in there and say, "Get your paper, we're going to have a quiz." So I'm not going to be around to give you a quiz, but, you know, quiz each other, because what I hear happening here is what these phenomenal truths about business and life. So I have followed many. I've not known you, but I have known about you because I have followed Howard all through what has been happening. So I want to thank you for what God is doing in your life and how he's going to use you. So Lord bless.